Morning. I wanted to do a bit of a marketing pitch. So when Andrew mentioned our incredible kitchens, because he's been out to our facility on numerous occasions, I thought I'd show you one, and any of you who are interested, I can take orders at the door later. And I say that because I jokingly talk about the shift in terms of what HR people need to do and what HR needs to do in the business as it relates to older workers. I want to go back to comments made by Ken Jones because I think he really framed this issue extremely well. He talked about skill shortages and what's happening in our workplaces now, and I don't think it's any different in Canada Safeway than it is in the cabinet industry or the aerospace industry or the other sectors I've served in. We're facing now a real critical shortage of folks in the workplace, and that's really fascinating because I think we're seeing something out there that is actually changing the dynamic. I think there was a time, and I think Brian Fisher-Smith, his question alluded to that. I think there was a time when labor was plenty. There was lots of folks to go around. And if you're running a job search or something, you could just put up a sign or throw up an ad, and you could have hundreds of resumes of really qualified people at your doorstep. Those days are gone, and they're going to be gone for the next near future. And what we see now is a shift to holding the people you've got and finding new people to come into organizations, and that's really a critical shift. So it moves to a valuing of your workforce more so than others. And I think Brian's comment was fairly astute in that organizations now have to literally be very aggressive at paying attention to that, because if they don't, they're going to see, on the worst, people becoming injured, people leaving the organization, and extensive cost. So I think we see a different culture happening. I'll share a little bit of our experiences in this whole area with older workers, and also share with you, I think, some thoughts that we have on things we're doing. And the research I've conducted and talking with peers and colleagues and others, I haven't found yet a silver bullet. I haven't even found the gun that builds that shoots a silver bullet, and we haven't found the people making the silver bullets yet. So, we're on a search, probably like many of you, for the right solutions to this. And I think therein is the answer, because there is no one solution to this. They're going to come from a multitude of things. Andrew mentioned we've got about 2,300 people across a number of jurisdictions in Canada and the U.S., and we have a workforce that's senior in many cases. Our workforce tends to bifurcate along a younger worker demographic, 30 and below, and all those above puts many of us in that category. Our experience in our workplace and the nature of the work that we do is a high frequency of injuries, far too high, by the way, but a very low severity. And that creates some interesting challenges. So we don't see our older workers becoming injured in disproportionate numbers to the workforce in general. We see them as actually being a wiser, more knowledgeable, experienced group. We are seeing something similar in the data, which is when they do get injured, it tends to be a little bit more severe, or it takes longer for those folks to recover. And those of you who frequent the gym just realize how long it takes you to recover from your workouts now than it might have done when you're in your 30s. So I share that with you. I'd like to talk just a little bit about some of the challenges that we see in terms of working through some of these issues with old workers. And I don't want anybody to misconstrue any of the comments I'm going to make as saying, boy, it's a knock on older workers. It's not. We have what we have in all the workplaces. Older workers are a reality. They're going to make up a significantly increased portion of our workforce. So organizations can't take the view that, well, those older workers are never going to get it or it's never going to happen. If they do that, they'll be writing off over 70% of the available workforce population. Bit of a problem. So I'll just talk about a couple quick things in terms of challenges we see, and then I'll suggest to you some of the activities we're involved with to try to change that. We see a lot of interesting things in workforce, in our senior workforce. They have a lot of experience, and they also have come and gone over the years, either in our organization or others, and many have seen it before. And some folks will have that I've seen it before perspective, and sometimes that makes people a little bit resistant to change. So one of the things we have to work on in terms of working with an aging workforce is helping them get over that, I've seen it before, it's not going to work mindset. And a lot of people have that, not just senior workforce. But that's an issue because a lot of those people have come through a lot of different things. Performance management systems are an issue. a lot of times in the workforce, you see almost emerging performance standards. Sometimes you'll see people wanting to set up different performance standards for aging workers, and you really have to be aware of that and understand what's going on with that, because that can create some challenges in your workplace. Concerned, there are issues in our workplaces like concerns for human rights. Those are really important issues. A lot of times we're not willing as organizations sometimes to confront performance issues with senior workers, sometimes because we're afraid that someone's going to say, well, gosh, the only reason you're picking on me is because I'm an older worker. And there's some concern for that. People have to get around that. We heard earlier in one of the questions of one of the presenters, the environment in today's world of doing more and performing more. And that's all too unfortunately a reality, because on the one hand, we all expect much more of our organizations and workplaces. There's a human cost to that. And we want to talk about the social cost of that, but at the same time, I don't know very many of you who in your investment portfolios or your RSP portfolio are saying, yeah, you know what, I'm not worried about that investment performing that well because, you know, the companies in that workforce portfolio have older workforces or senior workforces. So I'll take a 1% return on that investment because, you know, we don't do that. We don't expect that. So neither does business. So what we have to do is find ways to work smarter, not harder on those things because nobody's prepared to accept those trade-offs. So we have to work around that. So in some ways, we have a bit of a conflicting mindset. So we have to work around those pressures to do more with less. A lot of the lean manufacturing processes you're seeing, lean processes in the workplaces, are trying to take out waste and inefficiencies in process. Unfortunately, in a lot of cases, they become exercises to take people out of the workplaces. And what that often results in is the people that are left in those workplaces having to do more. And it's not a big surprise that people that are often left in those workforces or workplaces tend to be more senior, either by virtue of things, workings of collective agreements, or just by workings of long service systems. So we've created systems that demand more of people at a time in their life and their working career where they can give less. An interesting challenge to, for us to come around. We have a whole variety of things, sometimes mindsets we have to get around. We see this a little bit in the senior workforce sometimes on mindset towards disability or limitation. And, for example, we'll see folks that maybe have a disabling condition, be it occupational or non-occupational. Sometimes there's a mindset that says, I shouldn't be at work. Say, well, you know what, and by the way, work shouldn't hurt. Well, you know what, I was golfing on the weekend, and golf hurts. So, come on. I mean, we have to understand that, put that into perspective. Work shouldn't hurt. And I know that's a good rallying point for understanding improvements to the workplace. But we also need to understand that as we age, as we get over 18, most things hurt for us. We have to understand that. We have to manage that in the workplace and be able to deal with that. So we have to look at that mindset. We have to make sure that things like medical professionals in the community are being supportive. Supportive with return to work processes and supportive with understanding that the issue is not about disabilities, it's about abilities. So we need to work on that. So those are some of the environmental factors that I see out there and some of the challenges we see in terms of working with folks on all the different industries I've been in. It hasn't changed. I'll share with you briefly a couple of the things that we're doing and some of the things we're working on to try to address those. And again, I wish we had all the answers. I wish we even had some of the answers. We don't. Couple of things we're doing. We're looking very aggressively. We have a process in our workplace called Future State, and that really is a capital rebuilding process aimed at totally rebuilding the structure and footprint of our business organization to address different ways of how we can produce those lovely kitchens and those kitchen products, because the ways we've done them in the past have been labor intensive, have required a high frequency of manual intervention and labor, and that isn't suitable any longer for the aging workforce. So we have to find ways to produce those products more effectively using more automation, using more assisted technology. And that's not a small thing. The capital cost of that, I can tell you, I've been working on it for a couple of years, is significant. And the convincing of the stakeholders and shareholders to make those investments is significant. Against the pressure of saying, well, why are we even doing this? We'll just go offshore and buy this stuff. So that's something we have to deal with. So we're in a process of modernizing our processes on our factory and at the same time modernizing the way we structure our workforce as well. So it's a heavy capital investment process. That'll be a several-year process that'll take out, hopefully, a lot more of the labor processes. And what we found in the research in that, by the way, is quite interesting because what you do when you put that kind of methodology and mindset to work is you do eliminate some of the non-value-added touch processes, and you actually make your business more profitable and more efficient, at the same time making it easier for workers. So it's a wonderful combination, but it's hard to do and expensive to do. It's a process we're on. The next major one, and Andrew mentioned it kind of in his introduction, talking about ergonomic improvements other than broad capital issues. We tend to call it in our workplace working smarter, not harder, because I don't know about most of you gang in the workforce and most of the folks you work with or the work for you, if you lead others, it's really hard to look people today in the eyes and say, we need you to work harder. People are working lots of long hours. People are working overtime, whether it's in shop, blue-collar environments, whether it's in office, professional technical environments. We're all working more. And we talk about an aging workforce, and I can age myself a little bit because I remember studying in college and university that by about this time we're supposed to be working a day a week. Computers are supposed to be doing everything for us, and our biggest challenge was not the aging workforce. Our biggest challenge was supposed to be what to do with all our leisure time. And I don't know how many of you have much of that. I can tell you I sure don't. So we're looking at ways in the workforce to work smarter, not harder. And those, beyond the major capital issues, they don't need to be expensive or significant issues. But you do need to get people involved. And we're involving people. We're developing an ergonomics committee and an ergonomics approach to address those workplace issues that probably are in the minds of the folks doing the job every day if they just had a moment to bring them out. So I call it that technology in the toolbox or the technology in the briefcase or the lunch kit. Giving people that opportunity. So working on ergonomic improvements. Kaizens and other kind of methodologies in the workplace. Although I mentioned one of the negatives or the ills of that can be we demand more of the people that are there. Kaizens as a methodology are really important to helping us redesign our workplaces, particularly if we bring in an ergonomics component and a safety continuous improvement kind of component. And those are ways just to find methods to work smarter and not harder and to get that technology into the operations. Job rotation, that's a real simple thing to do. Boy, we talk about some of the traditional managers. Sometimes that's a hard nut to crack, you know, because people don't ever want to move Joe or Sally or Bob because they're so good at what they do. And we say, well, good, you leave them there and they're going to wear out. They're going to hurt their shoulders or arms or wrists, so you need to rotate them. And we face some of the same issues that people would see at Safeways and others in insisting that job rotations be in place. And what that means is that managers have to be smarter, and they have to work harder at managing people because it's a little bit more complicated to take a group of 10 people and start rotating them versus take the 10 people and leave them doing exactly what they're doing. So it demands more of managers, demands more of supervisors to take the lead and to do a better job of working with the folks that they have. So job rotation is a big one for us. We're looking at things like physiotherapy services in the workplace. Exactly, you know, when I say work shouldn't hurt, golf shouldn't hurt either, but, you know, boy, I had a little shoulder strain after golfing on Saturday. And, you know, if that was a workplace issue, would that have been a compensable issue? The point being, those things are going to happen to us as we're aging, so there's no use fighting them or denying them or perceiving they don't exist. How do we deal with them? So we do a couple things. One, we're looking at bringing physiotherapy services into the workplace to help people address that, to address those strains and aches and pains. We're also bringing in, and we've got nursing services in our workplace now, to be more proactive in addressing that. So more supportive, more informational, more resource-based as ways we can do it. And by the way, I can show you some numbers really quickly that will help you cost justify those things. We look at that. We look at risk assessments where we do have peers identifying risks and hazards in their everyday workplace. Now that takes a heavy commitment to communication and training and takes a heavy commitment to management and supervision in acting and doing that way. But that's the job of leadership, is to bring that to their attention, show the cost, both in the human cost, the financial cost, and the business cost to those things. Another thing we're doing, the seventh thing we talk about doing, is real assertive and aggressive return to work processes. You said, well, wait a second, what's that got to do with the aging workforce? What we do know is that when injuries do occur, they can take longer to recover, so there is difficulties. So you have to be when I say assertive, I mean not abusive. I mean real aggressive in cutting through the maze of the physician who said Sally can't come back to work for X weeks, or Bob can't come back to work, or Sally can't work on the XYZ machine. Because it's fascinating that physicians can be an expert in the XYZ machine, right? They've never seen it in their lives. But Sally can't work there. So we have to get very assertive in our return to work processes and work with identifying, and I'll apologize if I offend anybody with this, don't give a darn about disability, could care less. I'm not interested in disability in the organization, but we are extremely interested in ability, because all of us have restrictions and limitations. So our question is, what are they and what can we do to accommodate them? So a different focus. So our focus on return to work is aimed at what can you do, what are the residual abilities. Our job, our challenge is to match those in the workplace. So we're not even interested in discussing disability, but much more interested in what can all of us do, because we all have our unique gifts and challenges. So assertive return to work. The eighth thing that we look at really hard is creative benefits, and we've been in a process now for about a year doing this. Creative benefits and creative workplace arrangements, where we do have people on part-time arrangements, if that makes sense to them, and if that makes sense to the business. And by the way, in today's environment, it usually does. It's really hard to find a situation where that doesn't make sense if the people want to make it work. Creative retirement benefits, to find a way to get people to retain themselves in the workplace. There's many organizations, I can tell you, that probably haven't even looked at the fact that their retirement plans are motivating people to exit the workplace and exit their organizations versus rewarding them and encouraging them to stay along. So creative retirement benefits, flexibility of benefits, again, to make yourself an employer where people want to be, and then flexible work arrangements. And the last thing is all about training and communication, really explaining a new paradigm to workers, explaining a new paradigm to stakeholders, shareholders, and boards, and explaining a new paradigm to supervision and management, and holding them accountable for managing those new workforce realities, because that's something that not a lot of companies are doing yet. So those are some of the things I wanted to share with you as approaches we're taking. There's not any one of them that I can tell you is going to solve all the problems, and there probably is more that we aren't doing that we ought or should be doing that we don't even know yet. So I just wanted to share those with you as some examples. So with that, I'll open it to any questions anybody may have, or suggestions or ideas, because I'd love any ideas if anybody has them.